Hello, my friends. It is time for an episode of Waterproof Records, your unsinkable tunes from the past, present, and future. I am your host, Jacob Givens. You've been with me before, and more of these are coming on the way, and I'm excited because we're doing something today that we haven't done in quite a while. I've been getting a lot of questions, people asking, are you going to have guests on the show? Hell yeah, I am. I've just needed to get around to it. And what better time than when we are home for the holidays and we can actually take those moments at home and invite someone on and get a chance to chat. But what I'm really excited about is this is yet another friendship that I've made from the very app that got me to you, TikTok. It's crazy what this app has done for us. And so today on the show, we are welcoming a friend that I have made through music and through TikTok, Mac Glocky. Let's go.
Things are gonna change. I can feel it.
If this gonna be that kind of body, I'm gonna.
Waterproof Records. Waterproof Records. Waterproof Records with Jacob.
But before we welcome him onto the show, we're going to get the sponsors out of the way. Not out of the way. I love you, DistroKid. This show has been sponsored by DistroKid. Make sure you go to my profiles and you click on my links because I do have a special VIP 30% off for your first year of DistroKid. It is distrokid.com/VIP/waterproof. I highly recommend you do this. 30% off for your first year. It's incredible. And DistroKid is exactly what you need as a musician and as an artist to get your music out everywhere. They make it so easy. You upload your songs and boom, you're streaming around the world. What better service is there than that? This is why I love that they sponsor the show because I use them. I plan on using them in the future and I think you would really enjoy it. They have all sorts of cool services and things that you can do and features to really enhance your music and get it out there so that people can hear you and your amazing sounds. So do it. Check it out. DistroKid.com. 30% off with my special link and check it out. But you've been dying. You've been, you know, pins and needles right now. You're going, you know, maybe you know McLaughlin and you're a huge fan or you're like, hey, I don't know who this is and I'm excited to learn more. Well, you've come to the right place. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I would like to welcome my guest and I'm going to start glancing down at my screen right now. We can welcome Mac Glocky, otherwise known as Zach McLaughlin. Welcome to Waterproof Records.
What's up, man?
What is up?
It's great to be here, man. It's
I'm
awesome.
So happy to have you here. And this this is the magic of social media, the magic of TikTok, right?
Yeah, brought us together. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I've never been on a podcast before, so thank you for giving me my first podcast.
Oh, I'm not to be vulgar, but I'm breaking your podcast cherry, I guess. Well, I want to give the audience a quick, you know, history on how you and I met on TikTok, which is pretty cool. And that's what I love about this app. You know, you are a musician. You are a songwriter. You're very talented. I love your voice. I think
Thank you.
Just absolutely wonderful. And you're really skilled at the guitar. But
Thank you, man.
Yeah, of course. You came across my, you know, scrolls and tags. I had seen some people kept tagging me and you doing this Billy Corgan Disarm video and you were sounding like him and your head was shaved at the time. I think
I was bald at the time. Yeah. So that really added to the illusion.
It really did. And I got tagged in it like dozens of times and I went and watched it and I was like, wow, this is great. And so, you know, I duet from time to time, but, you know, duetting is one of those things that people have mixed feelings about, right? It's because you're just basically, you're pointing your audience to somebody else. And there, right. You know, you get, there's criticisms where people are like, oh, well, you're not doing anything. You're just motioning to this other person's talents.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, but the point of it is if you hadn't heard of this guy, I want you to hear about him and this is how I can share it.
Yeah.
But then that's what brought us together. And from then, once we friended each other on TikTok, I saw that you were just so much more than just a guy who was doing a great Billy Corgan Disarm impersonation. You were a songwriter. And you're really the things that impress me the most is you do these, you know, this band doing a version of this song. Those things are unbelievable.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, so good. Those get sent to me all the time. I get them in my messages.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people are like, And I'm like, and now I'm like, yes, we're friends. So maybe now that you've been on my show, people can understand that we're in touch. I see your videos.
Yeah, absolutely. And you too, man. Like I really love your hearing this band for the first time videos. Those are every time I see those, it just puts a huge smile on my face. And I just love your passion and your positivity, and it's contagious, man. I love your content, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much. So what led you to even make a TikTok? Like when did you start?
Well, the one that I have now is actually my second account. And I had a first account, and it was just Zach McLaughlin. It was just my name.
Yeah.
And I was doing the same sort of stuff, like the different songs and different styles, videos, and same sort of content I'm doing now. And it got deleted at around like 40,000 followers.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. This was in 2020.
Wow.
Later on, I was just like, you know, well, shit, like it's deleted. And I was really deflated and just like discouraged from doing it again, because I felt like I kind of got lucky. Like the first video I did like got viral. It was I was doing if Kurt Cobain sang All Star by Smash Mouth.
Nice. I don't think I've ever seen that.
I redid it again on this channel, but Smash Mouth ended up seeing it and like reposting it and stuff. So it was really cool.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Yeah, and I felt like I got lucky. I was like, there's no way I'm going to get that traction again. And it was like, for a while, it was really discouraging. And then one day I was kind of just like, you know, I love putting out content. Like, I love doing it. And I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm doing it again.
Yeah.
Made this account. First video I did went viral.
And I Amazing.
Was back in it all of a sudden. I was like, oh, shit. Okay. Wow. Awesome.
Well, that just goes to show you that, you know, there's... It's interesting because TikTok is the Wild West of content creation right now. We are really in an era where, you know, I've been around a long time. I would gather I'm a little bit older than you are. You seem much younger than I am. I am 44 years old, and so I have been in LA chasing the dream, chasing the, you know, the whole thing, and making content. And so I had a Vine. You know, I've put stuff on YouTube. I've done sketches. I've done all this stuff, and all of it, it's like, no matter how hard I would try, and many friends of mine would try, it was just like you just couldn't catch. But TikTok really opens the door for millions of people to see what you're capable of in an instant. Yeah. And I think that it's really no surprise that when you made your second account that your first video went, because when you have something to offer, when you bring something to the table, a lot, you know, there can be tons of people that go viral because they, they made something with their armpit, you know, like a fart noise, and it made somebody laugh. And then that is seen by 50 million people or whatever. And you can go, yeah, but are they really trying to create more art or something to offer the world? Sure, it's good for a laugh, but I think people see that and they go, oh, anything can go viral on TikTok. But the things that stay the test of time and grow are the, I have something that I want to give you, and I hope you enjoy it, you know?
Right, something that's going to keep people coming back, because, you have that one-off video that goes viral, but then it's like, well, what's your act? Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do
now,
with that?
Now you have these people watching, so it's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
That's really true, and it was, I think a big part of it is just finding a niche and just sticking to it.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you'll have your videos that will go super viral, and then, but I mean, most of the time they don't. They get, you know, you have like that core group of people that watch, and those are the people that you want to hold on to, because those are the people that are going to stick with you.
Yeah, and I am so proud of you for coming back, because losing 40,000 from a deletion, that would really, really kind of send me into a tailspin, because, you know, up to a certain point in my life, I'd never had numbers like that, and to have put that effort in. And then to lose it all. I've seen people talk about losing their accounts. And then there's times where, you know, I've had some unusual things happen with my account. And I'm like, uh-oh, could this be the moment? Could it all fall away? Did they ever give you a reason for it, or for the deletion? Or was somebody just reported you probably out of malice or spite?
It's TikTok, man. I don't know. Yeah.
Who knows, right?
I've been like, that's why I've been so careful about like, I mean, and you should be anyway. You should be very careful what you say and everything. But I was just, in the case of TikTok, I just, because they don't tell you, and you try to get a hold of them, and they don't. They just say your thing has been denied, and they don't tell you why. It's like, I know. And I have been banned from live streaming a couple times, which I saw happen to you a little while ago.
My first one, and I was shocked. I was like, what did I do?
Exactly. And you're like, and you go, because you can watch the live streams. Like you can go back and watch them. And I would watch them, and I'd be like, what? Nothing happened. Like what happened? And they don't tell you. It's frustrating.
It's very frustrating. But all that stuff aside, let's get to a little bit more of, you know, your story, kind of what led you to become a musician and the music fan that you are. Where are you from? Where's your hometown?
I'm from Sacramento, California.
Right. Nice.
It all really started when I was 2 years old, and I'm 26 now. So okay. I was 2 years old, and my mom just put on the Buddy Holly story movie with Gary Busey.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Apparently, I just became obsessed with it, and like ever like from then on, you know, I tried other things as a kid and stuff, but the music seed was planted really then. And she made like she recorded a cassette tape where it was just the music scenes from the movie, and I would stand in front of the TV and dance around to it and have my little plastic guitar and pretended to play guitar and everything.
Oh, I love that.
And I started taking guitar lessons when I was probably like 7, with my uncle. And then, you know, started getting into like Green Day and, you know, pop punk and stuff. And I didn't start doing bands until I was like maybe 10 or 11. I saw the movie School of Rock, and I was like, that I want to be in a band now for sure. Like I was already into music, I saw School of Rock, and I was like, okay, I'm definitely joining a band for sure.
100%.
I mean, you know, it was a long journey of like being into certain things and then not being into certain things, and then, oh, that's kind of cool. No, that's kind of lame now.
Yeah.
And I think when I got to high school was really when I kind of developed my permanent taste in music, where now it's just kind of, I listen to a lot of different things, but you know, now I'm definitely more into like heavier stuff, and I write a lot more heavier stuff.
Yeah.
Every once in a while I'll discover a band where I'm like, oh shit, I'm craving that. I love discovering new bands that you get super into.
Yeah,
agreed. It's been a while since that's happened for me.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty common. I've gotten into conversations before, and I've rarely had anybody disagree, but there is something about our teenage, our adolescent years, where the deepest impression, the deepest cut that music makes is that time in your life, because you really are building who you are as a person. And while we love to hear new bands, and there's tons of, you know, heavy metal, you know, bands that I've discovered in my adult years that I love so much and I'm crazy about, but it will always come back to this real foundation that was laid when I was a teenager. And then I was like, I'll always look back on that as like where the groundwork was laid. And then I love to find new bands now, but again, it just can't beat that feeling.
No, absolutely. The last band that I discovered probably is probably one of my favorite bands now was like 5 years ago. It's a band from the UK called Everything Everything.
Oh, I've never heard them. I don't think
they're actually like an art pop band.
I'm going to have to check them out.
And you should check them out. The songwriting is just incredible, and they have such a unique sound. One of the most unique bands working right now, I think.
Awesome. I'm wondering if they've come across any of my playlists or anything like that, because I vaguely feel like I've seen everything, but, you know, with these streaming music services, sometimes things will just roll and you'll be like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. So you're from Sacramento, which I've been up there. That's a cute town. I love the old town, the old town Sacramento, right? That's a, that's a nice little area. I get up there more frequently than you'd think, because I have a buddy who works at the B Street Theater there in Sacramento. Okay. So he's an actor. And we get up there. So if I'm ever around and you're ever around, we'll have to go grab a pint or something.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'd love it.
Yeah, I played around, you know, in bands in Sacramento. You know, I was opening for like Puddle of Mud, Hoobastank.
That's awesome.
Buckcherry. Played with Trapped a couple times. pre-disgraced trapped. They're a little disgraced now, but
that tends to happen with bands nowadays, right? More and more people come out and go, this person did this, and you're like, uh-oh.
So. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Sacramento is, it has a great music scene for sure. There's a lot of really talented bands, and there's a lot of great venues. You know, I don't know if you ever been to the Ace of Spades?
No.
In Sacramento?
No.
Yeah, great venue. There's a few really old, like, great venues in Sacramento. It's a great place to be in a band for sure.
Yeah. Well, that you had mentioned, you know, having music be a big part of your life since you were a child. I'm the same. There's really no surprise that somebody who is a music creator, and I'm a music creator, it does happen at such a young point in your life and really becomes the thing. And it's interesting because I'm a father of two boys, and I kind of just assumed that, oh, it's just going to happen the exact same way. I'm just going to have these children, and they're going to be like music obsessed like I am. And they it's not that they aren't. It's just such a different path, and I've had to come to terms with. I can't just sit my son down and be like, Smashing Pumpkins is my favorite. It shall be yours. It's not. It just doesn't work that way. It's the same with Star Wars. Like, there's all these nerdy things that I loved growing up that I was hoping my boys would just grab onto and be like, I love it, Dad, because you love it. And it's just been very humbling for me to learn, like, no, they have their own groundwork. And my oldest son, he loves, you know, beat driven stuff because he is into video games and gaming and, you know, cut his teeth on Minecraft and all these, you know, video games. So he has this ambient style and he likes beats. And so he makes music that are like, you know, interesting gaming kind of things. And so he does have that music bug in him. It's been a learning experience for me to see a guy who plays guitar, who's used to drums, bass, whatever. I'm seeing how he is experiencing music in such a different way.
Yeah.
But
that's cool.
Yeah, but he does.
That's really cool.
Yeah, he does what we do, which is it still affects him a lot. You know, when he was young, we would watch movies and like the John Williams scores, he would love, like, and he would tell me, oh, I love this part right here. And I was like, oh, he has the composition brain.
Yeah.
And then my youngest son is only 8, so he's, you know, he's copying a lot of what his older brother does. But it's we'll see. Maybe one of them will end up being like, like wants to be with Dad.
But one of them will be like, Dad, I want to learn guitar. And you're just like, I've waited for this moment.
That's totally
to arise.
That's totally what I wanted to happen this whole time. Is that I was just talking to my buddy from Chicago, and he said his son, he's a drummer and he's an amazing drummer. And he said he heard like his son pick up a stick and hit the pad like 3 or 4 times. And he said his whole body like went because of this mere possibility that his child would want to play, you know?
Yeah.
And, and I was like, I would be the same if I just came out suddenly and one of my boys like had my guitar and was just like, meow, 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 meow. I'd be like, oh, it's time. It's time.
It's time.
It's time. Yeah. But you know, being young and loving music and being into music, there is a thing that I love to ask guests on the show, which is there tends to be the moment that you go. So I played piano first and then I was smitten by the idea of playing guitar, and the switchover where I was like, for Christmas, I want a guitar. I want to learn how to play guitar. And for me, it was probably around Metallica's Black album. It actually wasn't even the Smashing Pumpkins yet, because that hadn't come out.
Okay.
But I was more into like Metallica and Megadeth at the time, and I asked for my first guitar, and I really just wanted to be able to play guitar like Kirk Hammett and like Dave Mustaine. I really wanted that, and that was the point that I was like, I have to get a guitar. I have to get a guitar. And right after I got one, what was kind of a good thing was having the idols like Kirk and Dave and these guys, grunge, and this isn't an insult on grunge, but when but when Nirvana comes out and all these bands come out and the style of playing is a lot more forgiving, in that once you figure out a power chord, you could play some songs.
That's exactly what happened to me, and I think a lot of people too.
A lot of people, right? And this was the era where playing a solo became uncool.
Yeah.
And this is what was going on then. It was like, you were in, if you were going to get into an alt grunge, you know, band in the early 90s, like playing a guitar solo was lame.
Yeah.
And it was, you would do like an anti solo almost. And, that being said, guys like Billy Corgan in the Pumpkin still was ripping crazy solos in that style of music. But as I was cutting my teeth on the guitar, I was getting less discouraged because you could play along. And then as you got better and better and better, you could start going, okay, now I'm going to go back in and see if I can try that intro to Tornado of Souls off Megadeth's, you know, off Rust in Peace, or I'm going to try this song. And you get better and better and you feel like you can do more things. But I, this long-winded question is all to say, was there a moment that you looked and said, I need a guitar and I need it now because you heard something, or was it just a much larger picture than that?
Well, I for me, it was just like, I don't know if I can pinpoint a certain moment just because,
sure,
just from that very young age, it was just always kind of a thing in my brain. Like,
yeah,
you know, and I think what really made me, around the time that I started taking it really seriously and I was like, I want to get like an actual guitar and like play guitar, was when I was super into Green Day. Like, that was the first band that I really, really got into. I don't listen to them much anymore, like once in a while if I'm really in the mood, but
sure,
at the time, like, all I fucking listened to was Green Day.
Yeah.
And it was around when American Idiot came out that that really happened, and I started going back and like, you know, I would hear like, you know, Basket Case or Longview, and I was like, oh, this is the same band? Whoa, that's crazy. And, you know, all those things started clicking in my mind.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I discovered what a power chord was, and like you were just saying, and I was like, oh, that's how you write songs. You just do this.
Yes.
All over the guitar. And I would spend hours in my room playing Green Day songs, and like, you know, I learned a lot of them, and it was a really cool time of just discovering my passion for performing. And I would like be in my room and I would pretend that they were my songs. And it was awesome. It was really fun. Yeah. I would come home and instead of doing my homework, I would play Green Day songs just for hours.
I love it.
Which might've been a bad idea in hindsight, but
you know, you live, you learn, but now you're doing fine. But I was going to say, American Idiot is a good one to come in on because, that is really Green Day maturing and getting to a much more ambitious, you know, epic album that would go on to, you know, be a stage production. I mean, it's just literally, that was them stepping into their own. When I was growing up, Dookie was the Green Day album, which I loved and I played through, but you were getting a very mature Green Day and then getting this backwards material that you could go look at. So that must have just been a cool experience to be able to experience, you know, hear a band that had reached this great level of songwriting. And then you go back to the early days and you go, they're still great songwriters. It's still not, you know, it's not like you're going back and you're like, this is bad. It's just, maturation, right? They're just getting better and better and better. But yeah, I still have a soft spot in my heart for Green Day, even though I don't find myself putting them on all the time. If one will come on and I'm in this 90s cover band, we'll do Longview and we'll do Welcome to Paradise. Those
they're
are
fun
just,
songs. They're really
super
fun songs.
Fun songs.
Absolutely.
Crowds love them, so you can't you know change that. But But outside of that, so you, Green Day was a big part. You're playing guitar. We're getting better, learning to play more instruments. You had mentioned, and I can gather this from your content, it seems like Deftones has a huge effect on you.
Oh, yeah.
And
I mean,
so where, like, were you a teenager when you were first exposed to Deftones? And what did that do for you in terms of, like, your guitar playing and what you wanted to accomplish?
Yeah, when I was, I probably was 15, 16, I was in a band called Overwatch. It was long before the video game.
Yeah, you were the first.
What's funny too, I actually have one of our sweatshirts, but the logo is like pretty much the same. It's like our logo that we had it's the video game. Like, it's almost like they saw it. Like, it's crazy.
They for sure did. Dude, you live in Sacramento. You're not even that far from Silicon Valley. You know what I mean? Like, there was somebody who saw Overwatch.
These guys are pretty good.
And used it in a game design. I wouldn't doubt it for one second.
Yeah. But, when I was in that band, our guitar player was super into Deftones, and he showed them to me. And the first album that I heard was Diamond Eyes. It was right when Diamond Eyes came out. So wow, Diamond Eyes was everywhere. And I think the first one I put on was You've Seen the Butcher.
Nice.
And I was just like, you know, I wasn't really familiar with like 7-string guitars and 8-string guitars, baritone guitars, because I was listening to like, you know, Foo Fighters and Green Day and stuff.
Totally.
And, which is,
totally.
You know, I wasn't really familiar with all that. I didn't know a fucking guitar could sound that way.
Right.
I was like, holy shit, it sounds like a laser, bro.
Yeah,
sounds
right?
Like, sounds like power converters, like... you know,
I love it. You're speaking my language. You're speaking my language. That's how it is. Yeah.
And hearing, you know, Chino's extremely unique take on his vocal performances and everything, and just, you know, Abe's, you know, animalistic drumming and everything. It was just like, I was like, holy shit, this is insane. And I started going back and listening to White Pony, and you know, very quickly they became my favorite band, and I think they'll probably be my favorite band forever. It had a huge impact on me. I mean, the only reason I started playing 7-string guitars and 8-string guitars is because of Stefan, and obviously I do my Deftones videos, and mm-hmm. it's a great way for me to feel like I'm getting new Deftones music, because when they release an album, I'll listen to it to hell and then be like, well, I want more. And then, you know, my Deftones versions of songs is kind of me like feeling like I can sort of hear them in a way, but you know, obviously not the same as getting just new music, but
it's
and definitely with my songwriting. I mean, like on my song that I just put out, not trying to plug myself. Just
no, you are allowed you are allowed to plug yourself on Waterproof Records. I was going to talk about Oasis, and I wanted you to talk about it because it's a great song.
Thank you. Yeah. The electric guitars on that song are like, I listen to them even now, and I'm like, this is so like Deftones. I mean, like, it's totally Deftones.
Yeah, you know what, though? Every song I write, somebody would be like, yeah, that's totally Pumpkins. You know what I mean? Yeah. It just happens, dude. It just happens. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think we're carrying on and infusing an artist, because the bands that we grow up with, they have their album that they're also emulating. We just heard it distilled through them, right? So it's just it just keeps going on and on.
Of course, yeah.
I love that you are this passionate about Deftones, because I have always in my life, ever since I was a teenager, if I would get in a conversation with somebody about music, and I often do, I would ask them, what's your favorite band? And I'm fine if people say, oh, I have many, and this is probably one of my favorites, and this one that's, or this one's my favorite. But I always am always like, oh, we're not going to be that close of friends when somebody goes, I don't really have a favorite band. I just kind of listen to like what's ever on the radio. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I don't think you and I are ever going to understand each other, because I just think that
this is ending now.
Yeah, this is ending now. I think that if you don't have that kind of love of a band or bands, at least I'll give somebody credit that they could love multiple, but I want to see that, like, oh man, when I put on this album, it just floors me every single time, kind of energy, because I'm like, that's how I experience music. And the people that experience music like that, when you talked about the tone of Deftones being like a laser and being like power converters, I'm like, that's why I make my videos, because I'm like, it's often hard to articulate the feeling that I get. I can only do it through like emotion and a scene.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And exactly. I love that I have a place to do that now, and then meet people like you that also have that passion and drive. Have Deftones seen your work? Have they reached out?
No. I would probably like, I don't know what I would do. If they acknowledged one of my videos or something, I don't know what I would do. I would probably just like cry. I think I'd probably cry. I don't know.
Get your tissues ready, man. It's gonna happen. They're gonna see you. That's the crazy thing about what we're doing, is that never before has there been an opportunity where you could make a song, a tribute, a video, anything that references the person. And now we live in the day and age where they're like, hey, they saw it and they've reached out and they want to do something with you. So I think, yeah. I think, get prepare to cry. Cause your moment is on its way. It's just a matter of time. Cause a lot of these guys, they're stoked that in 2022 going into 2023, people are still jamming out and loving their music and happy to stay, you know, part of the conversation.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
And I think you're going to be introducing people to Deftones that have never heard them before. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's valuable. And then along the way you get to show what you're creating, like that song. Do you have a plan for like a full album behind that song that you put out?
No, like, so here's the thing with albums, and people have been asking me to put out albums. They're like, oh, I can't wait till you put out an album and everything.
Yeah.
I put out albums in the past, and it's just, there's like in past bands and stuff, but there's always material on it that I'm like, okay, that could have been workshop more or just scrapped. And I had this mindset of like, well, bands put out albums, so that's what I'll do. I'll put out albums because that's what bands do,
right?
But I think it made the quality of it affected the quality of the writing. And there's still stuff I did that I'm really proud of, but there's certain songs that I'm just like, man, that, you know, that could have been better.
Sure.
And I want to focus now on just like just making sure that every song I put out is the best stuff that I can be releasing, you know.
I love that.
I have a song that I'm working on right now that I'm hopefully going to release in like February, March, that I'm really stoked on. And then there's a few other songs that are kind of heavier and they kind of have a similar feel, and I'm hoping that I can get them finished soon and put those on like an EP.
Yeah.
Along with I'm probably going to do an acoustic version of Oasis, and I'll put that on there because people have also been asking for that. But it's like, I'd love to make an album, but I would only do so if I had like label support and I had, you know, all those resources. Cause it's just,
I get it.
Me putting out an album for me is just, number one, it's like finding people to mix it and everything. And it's just, it racks up the dollars, and it's just not worth it if I'm not 100% certain that it's all material that I am 100% certain is the best I could be releasing. Because you fall out of love with songs sometimes, you know, like you'll start a song and like 99% of the songs that I start writing, I don't finish.
Yeah.
And when I was releasing albums, I would just finish them, you know, and now I'm really taking my time. And, you know, if I'm writing something and it's not there and it's not really sticking, it's not getting finished, then I move on to something else. And I wait until I find that spark again where it's like, okay, cool. Then it just kind of gets written. So that's kind of my attitude with that. I would love to, it's just not really realistic for me right now, creatively.
I get it.
Or otherwise, you know?
Yeah. I actually think that's incredibly healthy. I really do. I think that, knowing yourself and knowing what you want to get out of every situation, there's no rule. There's no like guidelines to art and creating art and music. And it is all about what the artist wants to put out into the world, and kind of falling into a path where you're like, well, I have to put out an album because that's what we're supposed to do. That's nonsense. It's you.
Yeah.
You have had a ton of streams of your song, and that's only going to continue. And it's because you are able to really look at that and say, I want it to be the best thing that I could put out. And you focused all of your energy in that. So I admire you. And I feel like that's something that is important for a lot of artists to hear. Is there are probably people sitting out there right now listening to this show even that are songwriters, and they have this really great hook or they have this really great song that they've written and they've held back on putting it out or recording it because they're like, it's just the one thing. And
yeah.
I think that
yeah.
sometimes you have to just paint the picture, put it out there in the world, and be okay with, you may never paint another one again. It's okay. But that's the journey of life, is that you put out what means something to you then, and don't worry about it. It just has to be something that you go, I have to share this. The whole point behind art is I see, feel, experience something beautiful in here, and I want to give it to others so that they can also appreciate it. That's why we do what we do.
And it took a long time for me to really realize that.
Yeah. You're really realizing it at 26. So I got to say, you are half my age and you're having a, do you know how many years I spent out here just chasing my own tail? Jesus. but anyway, it is healthy and I think it's great. I think it's great.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I'm really stoked to get music out, and I'm really stoked that people are, I mean, just people messaging me and commenting, asking me, like, you know, are you putting out more music? Like,
yeah.
And at the same time, you know, I want to get more stuff out, because, you know, eventually people, you know, they'll listen to a song a bunch of times and be like, well, I want more shit now.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find a balance between that, like, getting stuff out consistently, but also making sure that it's, like, it's good, you know?
Yeah. I hear you.
And sometimes it's kind of disconcerting, or it's kind of, you know, you get down on your own music and stuff, but
of course.
But what I do is, like, this is kind of fucked up, but when I get down on my own music, I'll go listen to music that I know that I think is bad personally. I'm not going to put any names out there, but, I'll go listen to music that I just don't like, and I'll be like, bro, my shit's better than this, bro. What? No. And then all of a sudden I get all excited about my music, which is,
oh my,
like,
God, that's kind, hilarious.
Kind, which is kind, it's kind of messed up, honestly. I'm not gonna lie, but it works. It does. It really works.
You know what? I love that you share this fact, because people should do that. And here's what you're essentially doing that all of us have done at some point in time. This is a little bit before your time, but Jerry Springer. Do you remember Jerry Springer, the reality TV?
Yeah,
Jerry. Well, if you ever were going through your life and you're like, man, everything I do is so, like, my life is just a mess and things are falling apart and I can't get my shit together and you're feeling low, you spend 5 minutes watching Jerry Springer, you'd be like, no, I'm doing just fine. Like, things are okay. Because there would be guests on the show and you'd be like, wow, dude. And so I think that what you're doing is the equivalent of a Jerry Springer musical cleanse. You're going, let's not forget that there are people that really are not that great and they're putting music out there in the world and people are like, this is the best, or it's getting heard by thousands, if not millions of people. And you go, you know, that's the thing about music and art, and what drives me crazy being in the musical realms that we're in, when people are in my comments and I share an album or whatever and they write things like, such and such is better. And I'm always like, yeah. I'm always like, not in my personal life, but for you, I'm like,
right.
You cannot put value on music or movies or whatever that can be transferred to somebody else. It's like, It can only be for me, right? I'm the only one. Somebody out there really, really wants to hear some of these artists that we would otherwise be like, no, thank you. You know, so
yeah,
it's like,
it's obviously, like, music is one of the most, like, subjective things. Like,
absolutely.
You know, everyone reacts to everything differently. And, you know, obviously, like, I'll go and listen to these people that I don't think are good to get excited about my own shit. But obviously, you know, people connect to it and that's great. Like, and that's a beautiful thing, obviously. Yeah. You know?
Oh, and I agree. I'm supporting what you're saying, which is
people
all the time will ask me about bands when I'm on live streams. And they'll go, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And oftentimes they'll say, hey, it's not my thing. They're not my thing, but I appreciate and respect what they're doing and, you know, that you like them. But I, you know, cause it is one of those things that, if I was with you and we were hanging out, we were having a beer and we were just going on a rant about a band that we think sucks, you know,
sure,
then that's totally normal. And that's totally fine. That's human conversation. It's one of those things that I'm always like, you know, when TikTok started going for me, people were like, you should make videos where you're hearing this band and you're reacting and, like, barfing. And I was like, no, you know, like you're hearing a band that sucks. You're ripping on them. And I was like, no, thank you. I'm never going to put a video out there that I'm like pointing out a band I don't like and talking about all the reasons they suck. I was like, that's just taking the joy away from somebody else who loves it. And then I become this, like, person who's a hater. And so I just, it's just not what I want to do. But on social circles and conversations with people you love, it's like, yeah, why not? It's be like, oh man, did you hear this song? It's Oh, I hate it.
I totally agree with you. And I actually do watch content sometimes where people do that just because it is fun sometimes to watch people be outraged.
Sure.
I mean, I watch Anthony Fantano.
Oh, I have him. And I have Needle Talk.
Yeah, and he is not a fan of Deftones. Like, he rips on Deftones all the time. And I still like his videos about Deftones just because it is interesting to hear what he has to say and like his perspective, because he'll be like, yeah, this one song is like, you know, the guitars are like compressed to hell and they sound like shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I mean, it sounds sick to me. I don't know, but it's still like entertaining to watch that stuff. But I would never make stuff like that just because, like, I make music, you know?
Yes.
And so I feel weird, like, saying anything like that about any bands or reviewing music and being all like, oh, well, this is bad for this and this.
Yeah.
'Cause then, like, you know, then people go and listen to your music and it's like, well, I think your music sucks. And it creates this like negative, like,
totally.
And I don't want my content to be that, you know?
Yeah.
I love music and I'm really excited to talk about music. So,
yeah.
And to put my stuff out, you know, so.
Yeah, I'm like
I love to watch that stuff. I would just, for that reason, I would never like want to make stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't envy him being in the position. I like him too. I follow him and I think he's very funny and he cracks me up because he's fearless in saying something. You know, like he's his latest thing, which I'm sure you've seen, is he's walking around asking people, he's like, what's my worst take?
Yeah.
So he is totally feeding in on the fact that he'll have these controversial takes on artists that people love. And it's become really fun and funny for him. And I watch it to hell. And I think it's very, very, you know, he seems to enjoy that he's the modern day music critic that everybody's like, oh, man, I can't believe you would say that about this band that I love. So he does it in a way that I do enjoy it, and I feel the same way that I can watch it. But I don't envy him because it's a hard stance to be constantly like arguing or defending people. And if you've got that in your DNA and you can do it and it feels good, then do it. But I think that when you are committed to making art and you know how hard it is to do, you just grow so much more empathy and understanding for why something might not work well or whatever, you know, like mm-hmm. if you love movies and then you sit around and you say this movie was so bad and it's so dumb and it sucked or whatever, but then you go make a movie and you realize we ran out of money. We didn't get the stars that we wanted. Nobody's watching it. You have a sympathy and empathy for what it takes to put anything together, 'cause existence makes it very hard with jobs, families, responsibilities, things we have to do to just put yourself out there and be vulnerable. And so that in and of itself, everybody who does it, you kind of have to go, well, hats off to you for trying.
That's right? Very true. Yeah, absolutely. That is very true. And I have respect for anybody that puts themselves out there like that, for sure.
Right.
It's hard. It's not easy to do, especially when you're first starting and you don't have, you know, any confidence in what you do. It's tough. And then you start getting like hate comments and stuff. And I, you know, everyone gets hate comments, you know, you get hate comments, I get hate comments. It used to really bother me. And now I'm just like, dude, it's like sometimes people will like, I'll do like a Deftones video or something and people will be like, Deftones sucks. I'm just like,
yeah. Yeah, nice. I know. I have to deal with the same thing with being a Pumpkins fan. You know, Smash Pumpkins obviously were very popular in the 90s. And then since the lineup changes and the band changes and his and the band's desire to always kind of change what they're doing comes with this, you know, there's just so many people angry about albums coming out that they don't like. And so, it's all the time. And with the comments, when I first started making content back in 2011 on YouTube and people would say like terrible shit, you know, I used to, oh man, it used to get me, cut me to the core.
Me, same. Yeah. It used
my
to
God.
Upset me so much.
It made
so
me
much.
So upset. And then when TikTok started and I started getting my first, you know, real mean stuff, it still got to me a little bit, you know, especially when anybody attacks me as a person. My tastes are one thing, But when somebody comes after me, I'm kind of like, ow. But it's getting easier. It's getting easier because I am starting to realize, I'm like, look, there are ways that you're putting yourself out there and I'm putting myself out there where we're sharing work and creativity. And that's scary. It's a lot. And it's a thing. It's a challenge. And there's a lot of people in their life that they don't have anything that they are prepared to offer, or they're just not willing to. And their only way to even feel seen or heard is through hate, and it's through being cruel. And I've tried to change my mindset to go, I feel bad for you. I feel bad that you rolled out of bed today and you thought to yourself, I know what's gonna get this guy. And I thought, what a crummy day in the life it must be to be you. And I'm so sorry. Go hug your parents.
It's always the people that say stuff like that too, that have like, they don't have anyone, there's no content, like they don't post anything, they don't even have a profile picture. It's nothing. Always those people.
And you're like, okay, either you're an angry adult or you're a child. And you are 14, and you and your friends are like some of the kids that, you know, my son doesn't hang out with, thankfully. And they're just, their whole goal in life is to troll and to just be mean because they think it's funny. And I'm like, that's probably what's happening 90% of the time. So anyway, all that being said, I know we probably got to wrap things up because we have been talking for a while already, but I was going to say, I'm so glad that we connected and I'm excited to see where you're going to go. And I support like you making music and continuing to make content. And if either of us gets deleted, don't let that stop us. Keep after it and make music. And because I think your voice in the world is important and it needs to be heard. And you're young. You're a young man, and you've got a long life ahead of you, and I'm excited to see what you're going to do. And I'm saying it for you as much as me. Don't get discouraged by algorithms and videos not being seen. You know what I mean? Because this is a madness. Yeah. It's maddening. It's maddening because you'll to one day have something be seen by millions and really get out there that you put your time and energy on. And then to turn around and make something that you put your time and energy on and it doesn't go anywhere. It's so hard not to go, why, you know? And I get in my own head about that, you know?
No, I do too, man. Like all the time. I mean, it's been a little while since I had like a video do super, super well. I think the last one I did was, that Smashing Pumpkins Pixies song I did. Mm. That one did okay.
So good. That one was a great one.
Thank you. Thanks, man. And I want to do more Smashing Pumpkins stuff because I do like doing Corgan and a lot of my audience likes it too. It's just with his voice, it's hard to find like the right song where I can like it really is. Sound like him. With those types of videos, especially those like this song in the style of this artist, I mean, those videos take a while. You know, it's a lot of hours. And so when they don't do well, it's discouraging. But
it is. It takes a long time, a lot of work. Yeah. And it is very discouraging. And I don't think people realize that these are hours and hours of time out of our day that you're trying to do something. And I too haven't had, you know, anything major recently. And I've tried to let go. I try every day to just say, doesn't matter. I am the people that are the core, like we talked about at the beginning, the ones that found you and they're like, I'm in.
Exactly. And that's exactly where I was going next. Yeah. Yeah. That's how because I used to get super, super down when videos wouldn't do that well, but I just look at the core group of people that watch every time and they're always commenting and sharing and stuff. And it's like, you know, there are people watching. It's just like, it's unrealistic to think that every video is going to get 200,000 views in 3 hours, you know, like it's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. But the core is key. And I'm saying that right now to the people listening to this show, they're my core, you know, like the people who listen to Waterproof Records and write me and talk to me, they are the ones that are my ride or die. And they're
and that's awesome. And that's phenomenal.
I'm excited to show you to them. And I think you guys should absolutely go check out his music and go watch his TikToks. He's very talented and just a good guy. And you also, didn't your Disarm video, didn't the pumpkins pick it up? Didn't they share it or something? I feel like on their socials they did, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, whoever, I mean, I don't know if it was Corgan, but somebody on their official account commented on it. They said like, good job or something.
Yeah.
And then they posted it on their Instagram, which was super cool. And that brought in a ton of people on Instagram over to my Instagram. So yeah, that was really, that was really cool. I was shocked when that got to them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good feeling when the artist sees you, and this will all have been worth it if you get a Chino message one day, you know,
I doubt it, man. Like Chino does not do social media really. Stefan does. So maybe Stefan will see something.
It is interesting, right? Cause there's artists that I've done and you go, they're just notoriously not going to be cool with, you know, anything, no matter how much love I give them. So it is interesting because we are dealing with people that have dealt with bullshit interviews and have had their words twisted, or they've dealt with all sorts of nonsense and they're like, I am not gonna engage or do anything. I'm gonna write music and go home. And you're like, all right, I can respect that. But I do think that your day will come, your time will come, where the Deftones community, hopefully a lot of the fans have seen your videos, you know, fans, at least the Deftones fans, they're like, this guy gets it, this guy knows this band, you know. So
yeah, it's been cool being able to connect with that community, awesome. Because, you know, Deftones have a very obsessive fan base. So when they see anything that's remotely Deftones, they're like, ah, yes, you know, more Deftones stuff. So
I love it.
Yeah. And I love making them. So yeah, I'll definitely continue to make them. And if that ever does happen and they acknowledge it, I'll make sure that you're like the first person that sees that. I'm gonna be like, dude, look, it happened, bro.
Yeah,
happened.
You reach out to me ASAP. Yes, you let me know. I want to know. I'm there for it.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Well, before we wrap things up today, is there anything else that you'd like to promote or things that are on the horizon, or just let my audience know about?
I mean, I mean, I'm YouTube, Instagram, TikTok at Matt Glocky. You know, I got a song I put out a couple months ago. Some of my covers are on there. I'm planning on putting more covers on my streaming services soon. But I mean, you know, just the best way to support me is just to go stream and, you know, follow on Instagram, whatever. I don't have anything big that I've just done that I can really promote, but just kind of in general, like that's, you know, that's my stuff. And
awesome.
I really appreciate you having me on, man. It's been great talking to you. I'd love to do it again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We will hang out. We're in the same state. We'll pull it off for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you guys, you know, Matt Glocky is MacGlocky. If you're looking for him on YouTube, on Instagram, on TikTok, that's where you can find
Spotify,
him.
Spotify, Apple Music, all that stuff. Yeah.
That's your nickname, right? Your MacGlocky.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my boot camp nickname.
And so that's how I
know we're trying to wrap this up, but
no, it's okay.
Just an interesting thing about my name was when I first started, because I was in a band called Control before I was Matt Glocky, and it was really hard to market the name, and it was just, you know, I ended up leaving and joining the military, so that kind of fizzled out. And I wanted to continue releasing stuff under Control because we still have like a group, like a solid group of people that listen to us every month.
That's awesome.
But yeah, and it's cool. And I'm really proud of what we did, but it was just so hard to market because it's just the word Control. And there's also a band in Mexico called Control, and they're like huge. And I had no idea. Like some other songs have like 30 million views.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, that's probably should have looked into that before we named the band. And I started releasing music under just Zach McLaughlin. But I found that was really tough too, because not a lot of people can pronounce McLaughlin or spell it, and it was just a tough name to market. So you know, when people started calling me Glocky, you know, Matt Glocky, I was like, okay, that's, you know, very weird, and it almost sounds like a rapper, and just you wouldn't expect it to be like a metal musician. And I looked it up everywhere to make sure that no one's called that. And I was like, perfect. This is my name now. This is my this is my identity now.
I love it. Well, McLaughlin, you know, that's a Scottish, I would assume.
Yes.
Yeah. So over in Scotland, you're probably huge. Everybody over there is like, oh, it's a good McLaughlin making a music over here. So
that's an impressive Scottish accent. That's a hard one to do. Good on. That's a tough one, man. That's a good one.
Yeah. I should make more videos in my Scottish accent. Well, anyway, dude, thank you again for joining me, and
have
a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and
many
great things to come in the years ahead.
Man, I'm excited to see what you do as well, man. And I'd love to do it again sometime. Thank you for giving me my first podcast. Podcast virginity.
That's right.
Yeah, man. Awesome.
Awesome.
Super
All right,
fun.
Well, I'm going to say goodbye to the folks that over here, and then we'll call it a day. Sound good?
All right. Sounds good, man.
All right. Thank you so much again for joining us this week, my friends. More episodes to come in 2023. And so happy to have McLaughlin on Waterproof Records. So definitely go stream his song, Oasis. Oasis?
Say it. Oasis. Yeah.
Oasis. It's O-I-O-I.
Z-Y-S.
O-I-Z-Y-S. So it's a cool title. It is just one of those things that I'm sure you get pronunciations all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, guys. We'll see you next time on Waterproof Records. Don't forget to check out distrokid.com. Go to distrokid.com/VIP/waterproof for 30% off 1 year of services. You definitely got to check them out, and we'll see you next time.
Things are going to change. I can feel it.
It just won't be that kind of body.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.